love you, Susie Q.
That has been stuck in my head for a long time.
Really, Sarah?
Yeah, every time you like, I've been like, you come up on my text or you come up on, it just pops up.
Oh, I like that.
It like pops into my head. I think it's because I haven't been listening to a lot of my own music lately. So like, I don't know, maybe I'm just like.
You're a blank slate.
I'm a blank slate, yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, episode 463.
Woo!
I'm really glad to be here. How about you, Sarah?
Super happy to be here. As per usual, my favorite place.
Me
too. I just love it.
I have number one, a recommendation.
Ooh. Okay, yes.
What? You
reminded
me.
No. I don't. You tell me your recommendation first, and then there's something I forgot to tell you that I just now reminded me, and I'm glad you did that. So go.
Okay, so on Netflix, there is a series called The Song Exploder, and it's based on a podcast, I think, with the same name. And I think there's only like 5 episodes or something. And each episode they do a different song and interview the artists.
Ooh.
And they explain how the song came to be, how it was produced, what it means, the sort of cultural implications of the song or personal implications, like if it's about something in their life. And anybody that enjoys music, as I do, will really love just hearing sort of behind the scenes on how, for example, episode 1 was Losing My Religion by R.E.M.
Ah.
And that song is such a great song for...
Creepy music video.
Creepy music video and memorable music video.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a mandolin is the main instrument, which is weird, but it's a super big hit pop song. And it was delightful. And I just thought... And just wanted to recommend it to the audience. If you're into music, you might like it. And it's all different genres. In fact, the other songs in the series I've never heard of, and I still enjoy it. Like, you don't need to know the song to like the show.
Oh, I love that. And it's kind of like how a hit becomes a hit or what?
Yeah, and sort of like why the artist chose, why did you put the... They separate each track. They isolate each track. And play it on its own. So you can hear like the vocals and then the percussion.
Wow.
And it's so beautiful. It's just great.
I love that.
It's fun.
Well, and you have such an ear. So I would imagine like if you're somebody who enjoys music, then.
Well, in the first episode with REM, they isolated the percussion and played it for the drummer. And he was like, I didn't even remember making that part. And then he's like, play it regular, like play the, you know, the song. And then he goes, oh my gosh, you're right. It is in there. And like, this is his own hit song.
Oh my God. That's so cool. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely want to see that.
If even the artist can be surprised after hearing the song a gazillion times, that shows you something.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So watch that.
Yes.
And then I did just, you tell me your thing. And then I want to tell you one more thing.
Well, I did, when we were having our, like, gushing about how much we love the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
I had only seen, even though I knew new seasons had, or new episode had been coming out, I had only seen episode, or season 7, and then I started going backwards. For some reason, I was, like, resisting, watching the
newest. Right.
I had no idea it took place in real time!
Oh, yes.
This is like the best news ever. I'm so excited for Biscuit Week. It's the best. It was like the gift that kept on giving. Because at first I like discover this show that's amazing. And then I discover that there are multiple seasons. So I'm like, oh, I'll go back and watch those to like, I don't know, in some way prep me, for the new season. Doesn't make sense. And then I'm like, oh, I should like see what Susie's talking about and what this new season's like with this new host. And then I click it and I'm like, what? It's happening now? I thought it was recorded like way before. So this is amazing. And that's all. I had to update you on my...
That was really cool that they adjusted the production to deal with the pandemic. Because usually because England is so small, when they're not filming, they just go back home and practice baking and then come back for the next episode to film. But they couldn't do that during the pandemic. So they're like quarantining and filming, which is more like an American reality show because we're all quarantined essentially anyway.
Oh, you might see increased stress on this one and a little more like
tension.
Yes, but I just love it. It's amazing.
But like I texted Sarah last Friday because the new episodes are released one at a time. So you can't binge the new season. You just wait for Fridays when they come out. And I text Sarah and showed her a screenshot when Adam texts me and goes, "Babe, it's biscuit week. Hashtag pumped." And like he genuinely was. He wasn't being silly.
Right. And I got it.
Because biscuit week's a big week, man. Bread week. Oh, bread
cake week.
Cake week.
Question mark on dessert week.
They have, is it like trifles or something?
Well, yeah, but it's like, isn't dessert an umbrella term?
You know what? It is weird because you know how when Adam says, "Do you want dessert?" he says, like, "What do you want for pudding?" They call all desserts pudding.
I was thinking it was a breakdown. It was like a one of those.
I think it might be like, because usually I'm like, is this Adam or is this England? I think this might be an England question.
I love that. I think it's an England thing too. Okay, so dessert is like a probably something specific. Oh, you need to ask Adam what a dessert is.
Yeah, well, that's why I pictured like a trifle or something. Yeah, some
because
elaborate.
I think like Baked Alaska was one that was on there.
Baked Alaska. He loves Baked Alaska too. That must be a British favorite.
Or like a 1970s thing. Or like the 80s thing.
True.
Or and like maybe, delicious. How does he feel about cruises? Because I feel like they do that on cruise ships. Does he like those?
Stop it.
Maybe he just loves cruises, but he can't talk about them because he's married to you and he knows how you feel about them. And he knows that you would like shame him for it.
Yeah, what if he loves all the stuff I hate, like hammocks and camping?
So far, you're naming all the things that I love, and the chances of him liking those things, because Adam and I are very similar, pretty high. So I'm going to go with probably. I bet he does enjoy a cruise and a buffet.
We're doomed.
Doomed.
Okay, next I just wanted to say that I'm super excited because you know how I write to prisoners.
Yes, I do.
And I have been writing to a person for 3 years, and they finally wrote me back.
Wow.
I'm super excited, so I wanted the Brainiacs to be excited with me, which is Mark David Chapman, who murdered John Lennon. So excited.
Oh, my God. Susie, it's like all the blood just, like, left my body for a sec.
Why?
I don't know, because it just makes something that feels like it doesn't exist in real life all of a sudden very real.
Yeah.
Like it brings that right here.
Yeah, because he wrote me via the JPay, which is their version of email. And I saw it in my inbox and I was like, oh my gosh, like I've been waiting for so long and there it is. And, you know, as they all are, he's super nice and wants to talk about books and religion and stuff like that.
Yeah, as they all do. Wow. What is the thing that you think got him? What was the hook?
That got him to write back?
Yeah.
I'm still confused by it because the last letter I wrote him was probably a year ago. And then once I wrote him via JPay and responded, then he's writing like every day. So I don't know what the holdup was. Maybe there's a queue and I just like made my way up in the front of the line.
Or maybe that with, I don't know, the pandemic or something, people's attention is turned to other places, and maybe the people who have been writing inmates are not doing that as much.
Maybe.
Who knows? I don't know. This is totally I have no reason for why that would be, but I'm trying
to
think
of
like
what's
changed.
Well, a lot of them can't have visitors right now, so maybe the inmates themselves have more desire for
There you go. No inmates, no visitors, so more need a need to connect. And even if he had never really gone on there before, and maybe somebody that he was, I don't know, near or around or talked to said, I use this. And then he was like, ooh, I'll get on there. And then he sees your message.
Maybe.
Ooh, there's story.
I'm just excited because, I mean, people are fascinating. And those fringe characters, they are a fascinating breed.
I wish you luck in your interviewing process and that he's open and I don't know.
Yeah, so far so good. Too,
maybe.
Hope he doesn't like me too much.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, so first thing to discuss. How about a pickle a day keeps anxiety away?
I believe this.
Okay. Really?
And here's why. Okay. Because that's like there's... You know how they say, like, the perfect diet's the Mediterranean diet, and there's, like, always something that's pickled, like a pickled element to it, whether it's, like, pickled onions or even cucumber. Mm-hmm. There's, like, pickles, like, that go with that. Or, yeah, I feel like something pickled is, like, probably good. I don't know. Does that have something to do with, like, bacteria and digestive enzymes or something?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's, you know, kimchi and all that stuff that has been shown to be good for your gut. But I was curious about why specifically helps with anxiety. And from the way that the article read, it sounded immediate. Like it sounded like if you're
really
nervous, yes.
Well, get me a jar of pickles.
I thought they meant like, you know, if you eat one every day, then eventually you'll see these results that your anxiety lessens. But this was saying like, if you're worried about a meeting or a big
stop
thing,
it.
Eat a pickle or something, sauerkraut.
Okay. Let's think about why. Do they tell you why?
Well, I mean, it said about the bacteria and then that specifically social anxiety and neuroticism were
decreased. That's insane.
I know, but they don't really know why. They're still like trying to figure it out.
You gotta. Because
it said
issue,
that
man.
When they like studied the brains of people that had eaten the pickled foods, it had activated the same neural pathways as anti-anxiety meds. But why
they
don't know? Weird, right? But great.
Well, I love pickled foods, and this
me
is,
too.
I wonder if it's a natural like need to balance. And I would say you and I are kind of anxious people. So
totally,
is that like your body needing to? Like that regulate itself.
I guess.
That is so crazy. You're blowing my mind here.
I mean, we are stuck up on pickles.
Heck yeah. Well, you know what's crazy is I've never purchased this in my life. I just bought a thing of kimchi.
Okay.
And
well,
I was
you're
like,
on the right track.
I think I should probably eat this. And I bought like some bulgogi and like, I was like, I'm going to make a bowl, like a little like, you know,
I'm telling you, your body knows stuff unconsciously or subconsciously that you like. I swear your body was like, I need kimchi because
probably was.
Isn't that funky?
I never bought that ever. And I was like, I definitely need this at the grocery store. And now I haven't eaten it yet. So now this is just what I needed to like be like, here you go, eat that.
Well, and even if it's a placebo, who cares?
Who cares? If it makes me feel like, you know, the only person that this doesn't work for is my brother Lucas, who is deathly afraid of pickles.
No.
Not like afraid, pickles. Like he has a fear, but in the same way I have an aversion to mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yeah.
But his is even worse. His is more like Jemmy and ketchup because he actually hates pickles. Like, I remember when he was probably like 7 or 8, we took him, it was his birthday, and we went to Jerry's Famous Deli, which is a Jewish deli, and they give you, instead of like a basket of bread, they give you a basket with some pickles in it. He lost his mind, had a full breakdown, and started crying, and we had to leave the restaurant.
Wow.
And yeah, and then once to torture him, my brother Jordan and I tied him to my mom's bed and made him watch the History of the Pickle on the Food Network.
And he was very disturbed.
Very disturbed. Cried the whole time. Like torture.
What do you think he would be like now? He just wouldn't eat them but wouldn't make a scene?
Yeah, he wouldn't make a scene. He definitely, we've recently talked about how he didn't like them. And then we also talked about how it was really fucked up that Jordan and I did that. So we,
it
my,
is,
my apologies,
Sarah.
Lucas. I did say, listen, I made a mistake. I've since, like, cleared the air or, like, you know, apologized or whatevs. But, I, you know, it wouldn't work for him. But
wow.
Then I think about, like, a baby who's cranky and just, like, shoving a pickle and letting it suck on that for a little bit. Does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it decreases anxiety, but it is fun to give a baby a pickle.
And or they make that funny face. Like that. Oh, it's yeah. So cute. Because that's where my mind also went with this. Is it, what if mm-hmm. it's something where it's like overstimulating?
That makes sense.
Something else. Like, kind of like splashing
like that study
water.
We did, it's like that thing we learned about that, the brain and like how you can get rid of an itch if you put the mirror in a certain
uh-huh.
place on your body.
Right.
Because you're. So it's like that where you're just distracting your mind.
Yes. And then I was thinking about the cold water study with the duck or something like that. Like there was some study that you were talking about how it reduces right. like stress or anxiety or like an anxious response or like, I can't remember, but for some reason ducks.
This is what's so funny.
Ducks were
we
involved.
Have like pieces of
pieces of
in
information. Right. We are just we know just enough to be dangerous. Is really
you know
what this
what?
Is.
It's better than nothing. Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. Another bit of good news is that a new cheese was invented during the pandemic. I'm super stoked about
a
it.
New
I know you're not
cheese?
A cheese lover. But
no, I'm yes. a cheese lover, just not in its melted state.
Right. Okay, well, you might like this one because what happened was these cheesemongers were left with all this Munster cheese that doesn't oh. keep very long.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lockdown happened and they were like, great, now we have all this Munster cheese and nobody to eat it. So they decided to experiment. Typically with Munster cheese, you go down into the cellar and three times a day you have to wipe off the humidity. And that's what gives it its signature flavor and rind on the outside. Mm-hmm. But they were like, fuck it. We're not wiping that goddamn humidity off. We're just going to let them live.
Yeah.
Let them age naturally. And in so doing, they ended up with a different kind of cheese that was very mild in flavor. And then they offered it to their kids and their kids couldn't quit eating it. And they were like, okay, we're onto something here.
You can't tell me that there hasn't been a situation where some Munster maker forgot to go wipe his cheese and hasn't created this before. This could have been invented with somebody who, like, was just distracted for a season, right?
You're like, if I were a cheese monger,
this I would be. If
I could have done this.
The solution is do nothing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my
what
kind
else
of cheese
can we apply?
Production.
Right. I'm like, what else could I apply the same logic to and get some cool results?
Yeah, and they named it.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Le Confiné or something, which what's means that? Like the confined or in confinement because
oh,
it was made during lockdown.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the invent. Wow, you know what? They say that you can't reinvent the wheel, but you can, however, reinvent a wheel of cheese.
Yes! Right, and like, isn't that the good news we all needed?
It
at this
sure
time?
Is. There you go. Huh.
Maybe I'll
I wonder
stick
if
with
I'd like
the,
that. Well, apparently kids do.
Well,
I,
yeah,
like, I like a cheese
really
with a sharper taste. I'm all about the stink and the.
You're right, though. It does seem like that cheese would have come first and then the Munster.
Yeah, and then they were like, oh,
second.
That's not as flavorful. Let's start wiping it off and see if the bacteria produces or whatever. I don't know. What do I know? I know nothing about cheese. I just don't like it melted. That's it.
That is strange. Do you think that you had a bad experience with it? Or
no,
what?
I think I just relate it to food that makes me feel not good.
Mm,
like
yeah.
causes me to have an upset stomach and like too greasy and all that. And it's just like, it's
that's
more
all
that.
She wrote.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, let's stick with the food topic. This is just a quick thing.
Yes.
Which is, NPR says that an Irish court said that Subway's bread doesn't count as bread.
I saw this. I'm.
What do you
think? I love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because I don't like when companies... Okay. I went to the grocery store the other day because I was trying to decide, like, I wanted to make, like, a real nice breakfast for us. And I was like, I'm really craving cinnamon rolls. So I went and I looked at the cinnamon rolls. And I checked a recipe for cinnamon rolls. And I was like, okay, that's, like, doable, especially since Susie got me that bread maker. Shout out to Suze.
Shout out to you.
So I knew the ingredients that were in the bread or in the cinnamon roll that I was going to be making at home. Then I went to the store and I looked at the ingredients that were in the cinnamon rolls that I could be buying. And I was like, this...
That's a big mistake.
I do not want to, like, that seems like a lot of gross stuff to put in my body.
Wow.
So, yeah. Somehow this related to that. Now I can't remember because I'm thinking about how much I would love a cinnamon roll right now.
You're, like, having regrets.
Yeah.
Well, you like the idea is what you were saying about, like, putting companies, holding them accountable.
Yes, thank you. Yes. To be like, that's not what that is. And the bread, quote, it had too high of a sugar content, right?
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. So that's something that they're not, that if you're not a savvy consumer, if you're like just trusting that the company is giving you this good sandwich that friggin' Jared's eating between molesting children.
Friggin' Jared.
You know, like, don't lie to me. Like, I just don't like when companies, it's kind of like, what's the green thing that there's a name for it that you introduced me to where people are like fake green. It's like eco, you're basically like flexing, but you're not, it's like using
it's
that.
It's all bogus.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a name for it. I don't know, but something.
Yeah. Cause basically they were arguing that in order for bread to be bread, there's a list of criteria that it must meet. And that included having, I think it was 2%. The dough itself couldn't be made up of more than 2% sugar. And Subway's is 10%. So it's not even close.
Oh, my, 10% sugar. That's insane.
And so by definition, in Ireland, it is not considered bread. We in America do not have these same regulations.
We should.
We're fine with tons of sugar, apparently. So we don't have the same designation. But in Ireland, you're not eating bread.
Yeah, you're not. You're eating a dessert between...
It's a
sugar loaf. Oh, my God. Sugar loaf sandwich, which sounds delicious, by the way.
I'm hungry.
And, like, now, don't you feel, like, bamboozled? Because, like, sugar, like, it's supposed to... If I'm getting 10% sugar in that, I want it to freaking taste like that.
Exactly.
That doesn't taste
Give me Snickers.
Like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, what a waste. What a waste of my daily intake of sugar. On something where I don't even get the, you know?
Yes,
yeah,
in a savory item.
Plus,
ketchup's like that too.
Yeah, that's sneaky like that too. But you're very strict on your ketchup. I'm a little more like loosey-goosey on that. And I get like the organic kind that's low sugar and all that.
Oh, there you go.
You know. Okay. Kind of like, you know, live forever over here, Suze.
You and my mom.
Actually, not really. But my mom did say the other day, she was talking to me about, like, I don't know, giving me like... motherly pearls of wisdom and like talking about, I don't even know what she was saying. Like, she said, like, you like look back at your life and you'll be like, wow, but gosh, man, look at that quarantine we went through. That sure was something. Or I don't know what she was saying, but when she said it, she was like, yeah. And when you're 97 and you're about to die. And I was like, in that moment, it felt like my mom was getting some like download from like, you know, the spirits right. above. And it sounded like she was very sure that I was passing away at 97. And in my mind, I was like, oh, that sounds like the right number. Oh, that's not a bad number. Yeah, I'm good with that. And it was like, okay, I'm here for a long time. We're good.
What's the math on that? What year would that be? 2079. No, wait.
Dude, if you can do that math that fast.
Because you're just 100 years minus 3.
Oh, okay.
83. 2083, you would be, right? The hell year were you born?
1986.
Yeah.
Yes.
2083.
Wow. 2083.
That's a nice year. You got plenty of time.
Imagine what this world will be like in 2083. I can't even wrap my head around that right now.
I think that's good advice by your mom, though, because we as a people who experienced 2020 can do that whole thing that old people do where it's like, when I was your age or I went through this, the war and whatever. We didn't
have
one of those.
I can't wait to lecture about walking to school uphill both ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got our thing. That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. I'm mad because Facebook banned an ad for period underwear.
Oh, God. They're like New York City subways.
They did. They did a very similar thing. They banned the ad for period underwear because they used red blood.
What are we supposed to do? That stupid fucking blue liquid that you're pouring into the...
Can you believe? Because the blood looks like blood. And if it was blood from your head or your hand or something, it would be no problem. They're just grossed out that it comes out of our vagina.
This is the most insane thing. I mean, here's the thing. It is gross. But it doesn't...
Yes, it is.
But, like, we're not sitting here going like, oh, yay, we want it all over us. No! But we just don't feel like you need to hide it. How come I can literally see the red wedding in Game of Thrones where people are like, blood everywhere? That's like glorified. You turn on any video game and you got like blood squirting out of anything.
But when it comes out of our vagina, it's seen as profane.
Come on.
Fuck you.
For Pete's sake. Fuck everything.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Listen.
That guy.
I mean.
That guy. It doesn't surprise me, but I'm still mad about it.
Gosh.
It violated the terms because it was provocative and offensive or something like that. It is provocative, but only because of people like them.
So is the middle finger. Like, so, what? Where's the line? What? Everything can be provocative and offensive. Halloween is provocative, offensive. If you ask your mother,
they use the word shocking. Like, if anything's shocking, I'll tell you. On Facebook is.
It doesn't shock me when I see it in my underwear every month. That's pretty predictable. That's about the least shocking thing that happens. I'll be shocked when it doesn't happen.
I love when you yell.
Golly, I'm just like, stupid. That's a stupid thing to say. Not you, him.
Sarah is shocked at their shocking claim.
Yeah. I'm like, that's stupid. I rarely use that word. That is.
Yeah, that's like a swear word for you.
It is. And I'm going to say that is that.
Wow.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There, here's another little one. I'll just do, these are all like kind of like little ones.
Yeah.
This is actually a good thing. This was Science Magazine, and they were talking about how people, I guess it's like an organization, but I'm not sure who the they is, but they created decoy eggs to put in Costa Rica in the, to simulate turtle eggs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they have GPS in them. So if poachers steal them, they can catch them.
This is great. Because I saw that like headline that GPS is saving baby turtles. And I was like, how on earth did they get that little GPS on that little baby turtle? And now this makes much more sense.
Yeah, and a lot of them, like, I forget how many they had, but a certain percentage of them, the poachers knew and tossed them aside. And so that was unsuccessful. But there were several that they were able to catch. And I wanted to ask you, because I figured you would know, what the heck do these poachers do? They sell the turtles or?
Well, maybe. And then maybe that, like, turtle soup that.
Right.
I feel like, can we just stop with the soups of endangered animals? Nobody even likes that shit.
Right, because didn't they say that the
shark fin soup,
shark
turtle
fin, it doesn't even have a flavor. It's just a thing.
Right, and then that bird's nest soup, stop. Stop
what is
soup.
That?
There's one that's like, oh God, it's going to be
a heebie-jeebies. Is that a real bird's nest?
Yeah, and then there's another one, but it's been like, oh, let me see, bird's nest soup. I think it's like weird where it's been, okay. They're created out of the solidified saliva harvested for human consumption of swiftlet bird nests.
Gross.
Why are we doing that? Stop
why
doing that.
Why are we doing that? Stop doing that.
Come on.
That, I'm always talk about this, but do you know that Bob Newhart sketch where he's playing a psychiatrist and his clients come in and they describe, like, I wash my hands 50,000 times a day and blah, blah, blah. And then he's always like, well, stop doing that.
And I'm not like,
that's
seen that.
Really like the essence
so
of therapy.
True. Yeah. Well, don't do that anymore. Stop.
Yeah,
why are you doing
so
that?
It's so simple.
I mean, for real, that's like what I go to a therapist and she's like, well, what's stopping you from like doing that every day? And I'm like, well, fuck, I don't know. Well, then just do it. Okay. I will.
But that's true.
Here's my
that's
money.
That's what I said in my TED talk was there's a reason why Nike's slogan has been just do it for however long. It's just the truth. It just do it.
Just
but
do
it's
it.
Hard to do it.
It's so hard to do it. We can't. It's so hard to figure it out. But
it is hilarious to say, just can we stop with the soups?
Come on. Enough. Nobody even likes it.
Oh, nobody God. Likes it. They don't even taste good.
Right. That's really funny. I don't know.
All right. Let's move on. Let me think what I want to tell you about. How about an update on the Mona Lisa? That's fun.
Oh, yes. I will take one.
So they're always studying that thing because it's just so famous and there's so much interest in it. So a recent study of the Mona Lisa conducted over the course of 15 years. I don't know what takes them so fucking long. But
yeah, it doesn't change.
Right. It's right there.
Right there. Same.
They detected earlier marks in charcoal on the canvas, and the marks in the hand and hairline show artist Leonardo da Vinci shifted her pose over the course of the painting to make her look more directly at the viewer. And they said that the process of figuring that out was accomplished with a multispectral camera that can detect reflected light at this crazy rate or whatever, to observe the sketch underlying the famous painting. And the analysis also detected a hairpin, which was dropped from the final work.
Oh.
So she, like, had her hair did, and then they're like, no, let's make her, like, beach waves.
Oh, my God. So he took a little creative liberty in his...
And don't you wonder, like...
Portraiture.
Why he was like... Maybe he did the Coco Chanel thing where he... Remove one piece of jewelry.
Oh my God, that is such a freaking funny joke. That is so good.
But I mean, he's maybe like, he really did.
Nope, too much.
Yeah, because...
What do we think this is, the Baroque period? Come on, get that out of here.
Baroque. Right, because Coco Chanel said, when you're going to leave the house, you should look in the mirror and remove one piece of jewelry before you go. Like, you have to edit. So maybe Da Vinci was like, you know what? That's too much.
Yeah. She's a simple lady. She doesn't.
Be casual, Mona.
Yeah. You're overdoing it. Oh, you've over-accessorized, my dear.
Less is more, Mona.
Less is more. I mean, he really should have given her a little help with those brows or lack thereof. Help a girl out.
What was wrong with them?
I don't even think she has any.
Oh, my God. Let me see.
Mona Lisa.
She doesn't have eyebrows?
I mean, they're not a lot. No, she doesn't.
You're right. No wonder she looks mysterious.
Right. We know this. We've talked about the eyebrow thing.
I forgot. Well, we talked about it in general, but I didn't think we talked about it with Mona.
Right. just about eyebrows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, people.
We're still learning. Maybe it did take them. Maybe they did need all 15 years or 4 years or whatever.
So. Yeah, right.
Who are we to judge?
I mean, it is annoying, though, how scholarship depends on funding, and funding depends on public interest. And so people are so obsessed with Mona Lisa that now we're just sort of like studying her because it's like possible to get funding for it.
Yeah.
This is my theory anyway, rather than other things that are less publicly appreciated, but maybe would be more consequential.
Yeah. And it's, I don't even know why these paintings become so. It's got to be just the mass that it's more exposure and familiarity than the actual quality of the work. I'm not. Oh my God! By no means am I saying the Mona Lisa is not quality art. Leonardo da Vinci isn't a genius. I'm just saying it's interesting that we just get fixated. I don't even think it's the best work by Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, I would agree. It's evidence, though, of how something could just catch on and become a thing.
Yeah.
And there's not always, you can't always figure out why. Yeah. I did read, though, that there's a new painting they found in Australia that somebody bought for $60 that they think is Van Gogh. And I love those stories.
Me too. Oh, I mean, the ultimate, what was that? Antiques Roadshow story.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I always love the episode of Will and Grace. If you haven't seen
that one,
watch that. It's the best one. Go. There you go. You're welcome.
Oh, God. Yeah, because everyone wants to think that when they go to a flea market or an antique store or whatever, that they're going to find some sort of, like, the Declaration of Independence hidden behind painting or whatever.
Right, right.
And so it's so fun when it actually happens.
Oh, it really is.
And I do like hearing how the experts try to figure out if it is authentic, and they do all this work with like brush stroke style and stuff that I can't even understand. But
yeah, I was, I can't remember what it was. It was some documentary I was watching on Netflix where they were looking at carbon dating, and they look at the levels of radiation or the levels of certain elements that are on the painting and the concentration of it from after we started using nuclear weapons, and and that we are now, because we've stopped using nuclear weapons and testing them and signed these treaties, which is wonderful and fantastic, we are losing the ability to timestamp these works of art.
We're losing it?
Yeah, because there isn't enough cart. We can't test it. Like, there isn't enough. It's like we only have a limited amount of time that we can use this style of testing before it is depleted and it runs away. It runs out. Isn't that crazy? I can't remember where. I'm going to have to find the source for this. I think it's in that. Oh, gosh, I can't remember what it is. But I'll find where I saw this, because it was really. I was like, what? And yeah. It's like, great that we have it, but it's going away.
I thought you were going to say just that basically everything and everyone is radioactive now. Like, we're all Marie Curie.
Yeah, probably.
Did you see that tweet? My friend Eileen did this tweet that went viral that was like, she said, I told a guy I was dating one time that I was distant relatives with Marie Curie. Uh-huh. And he said, it's pronounced Mariah Carey. Which is like the perfect mansplain moment.
Yeah. It's pronounced Mariah Carey. Yeah. Oh my God. I hate it. Oh, remember that guy who that match.com response I got years ago where I think I said I loved entomology or I loved etymology. And he said, I love bugs. And we were like, no, sir. Wrong one.
That's so cute though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at least.
But he did a few more things that were not.
Okay.
I feel like he did, though. I don't remember.
There would probably be a good overlap there. And the
for
same guy
sure.
That gets up, yeah.
For sure. He didn't get a date at the end.
Sarah's going to be very excited because we have a guest that she worships.
Worships? I'm so excited. Maybe you saw me freak out on Instagram about this.
Joe Frost, a.k.a. the Super Nanny, is, you know, a national treasure. She does live in America now, so we can claim her as our national treasure.
Oh my God, queen of chore charts. I should say enforcer of all chore charts, which I just love.
Yeah.
Timeout chair.
She holds people accountable.
Naughty corner. Oh, I love a naughty corner.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, okay, so you know how I often put out calls for our listeners to write questions for people I'm interviewing. Mm-hmm. Well, this was unlike anything I've ever experienced because people have such reverence for her.
Yes.
Like there's a sense of honor that mm-hmm. they speak about her with mm-hmm. and gratitude. And first of all, you don't hear that very much in general, but you really don't hear it for many reality stars.
Right. Yes.
So I was just like so happy that people are just really, they look to her for guidance and she's doing the Lord's work, really.
Yes. Yes. And I think she sees parents and she like meet and just validates them and then mm-hmm. also calls them out and like, you know, lets them know that you're going to get, she's supportive. I freaking love it. Oh,
well, my brother always used to say that love is a command to rise. Mm. And I feel like that's what Joe does, where she's like, I love you enough to say you can do better. And yeah. I'm going to help you do better, and I'm going to show you how. And yes. she gives people the tools and empowers people. And it's really great when reality TV can give something good to the world.
I love it.
Let me read her bio before we introduce her. Jo Frost is the most globally recognized parenting expert in her field, having acquired a legacy of over 30 years' experience in her genre. She's an award-winning, best-selling author and a TV host expert, best known for her show Super Nanny, of course. In addition, Frost is founder of Nanny Jo Productions, which has produced shows like Nanny on Tour, Britain's Killer Kids, and Extreme Parental Guidance. And also, she's my buddy on Twitter. That's how I got to know her. And so I don't normally reach out via DM to like celebrities who may follow me because I don't want to take advantage. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like a lot of people are struggling during the pandemic.
Yeah. Oh.
And people are having doubt and feeling like they're letting their kids down and their kids are going to be traumatized forever. And I thought, you know what? Maybe she would come on and talk about that. So yeah. that was what the focus was of the interview. And people submitted so many questions that I just tried to cover it more generally, you know, the things they were interested in. So
yes.
we love Jo Frost.
Love. I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
Welcome to the show, Jo.
Hello, Jo Frost. Welcome to the Brain Candy Podcast. I'm so honored to be talking to my e-friend today.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
What an honor. And I'll tell you what. So whenever I put on our page that we would be talking and said, submit your questions to our listeners, I have never, ever received a response like I have for you. People treat you with such reverence and like you're a goddess, which, you know, that must be nice. So I'm wondering what it's like.
We're all goddesses, darling. We're all goddesses.
That's what I'm saying. But do you feel like walking around in your skin is an interesting experience because of the reaction you get from the faces you see?
It is an interesting experience because, of course, you know, I was doing this before I was doing it on camera. So it was a whole new experience coming to America 16 years ago and actually doing my work on camera because of the opening of the beginning of the reality genre. And now for the evolution of that, where it's very much scripted and there's hardly a lot of non-scripted factuality, it posed a lot of questions in the beginning. Like, is this woman for real? Is she an actress?
No.
Are those kids acting? Is this family really that extreme? Like, are they really having these issues? And once we got past the first sort of couple of seasons, I would say, people realized, oh, this is what she does. This is her life's work. This is her career, you know? And we're just taking what she does, you know, for a living and seeing that under the guise of, you know, the Super Nanny show then as it was. So, you know, I think, you know, people were, I'm really, really fortunate. I feel very fortunate because I hear from crew, lots of different crew working in different parts of the world. They say not everybody's as fortunate as you are with people being so kind to them. But I think, you know, I think people realize, you know, I'm there to help. And, you know, they realize that I was a stable in their life that became a mirror to so many families. And I, you know, am compassionate and I have empathy and I do deliver the truth and I'm no nonsense. And I think it was bloody well refreshing for so many Americans. Like, ooh, that hurt a little bit. It is the truth. It hurt. But you know what? She's delivered it and she's still here. And she's like, okay, so I'm going to roll up my sleeves too and put my hands in this bucket of muck too. So, you know, I think there was a real kind of respect for the fact that I wasn't doling out what needed to change. I was like, let's do this together. And I'm about to help you do that, you know? So the first sort of, I would say the first 10 years were really garnering that respect from the American public who were watching. And so there is that lovely warm reception that I had to get used to. I have to say it was a little bit bizarre in the beginning. My husband really helped me with that. I wasn't used to people kind of coming up to me and just throwing their arms around me or wanting to kiss me or in the middle of, like, you know, trying to order some fish at the supermarket or something. I was a little bit taken back by it at first. And I said, oh, I feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I know it's coming from a good place. And my husband's, you know, working in the business said, oh, it's, you know, it's just your friend, you know, it's just people who are watching and they're excited. And you, I guess I just became a little bit more, as the years went on, more confident with embracing that, you know, and recognizing that it made truly the impact that it did, because I did not come from that world. You know, I didn't come from the TV world. I came from, you know, professionally being a nanny and then a consultant helping and troubleshooting. So it was a very different, you know, as you will know yourself, you know, I kind of came through the side door just doing what I love to do, right?
Yeah, but you're the good kind. Like, most of us are, you know, we misbehave and they show us on television being less than savory. And so whenever there's a reality show that has great storytelling, it's still compelling and dramatic, but is creating a greater good, I think people are really grateful for that.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's a feel-good, uplifting show. And I've heard a run of the gamut. Look, you know, people have said to me, oh my God, it's great, you know, birth control. Others have said it's great, you know, others have said it's great confirmation. Others have said, God, I've learned so much. I did not know what to do. You know, however you receive it, you know, I call it, you know, my work is on screen. It's factuality. It doesn't need to be produced. You know, these are real families that really have issues. And I think if you just go forward helping these families with the integrity that I have and the moral compass that I'm very comfortable with, you can bring a family to a place of really being successful if they want it. And that never gets old, Susie. It never gets old when the penny drops and you see a couple so happy. Because they now realize, it's like they realize for the first time, oh my God, I am capable of being able to do this. I can do this. And at that moment, you're so happy because you're very present. You know, I'm very present with when I'm with a family working with them. Of course, I'm not thinking about anything else but helping this family on their journey. And then you sort of, you know, say goodbye to the family and you say, wow, not only has it helped this family, but now they're going to pass that information forward. And truly, the power of the medium of television allows you to be able to help people worldwide. And that, to me, is just, that's unbelievable. Like, wow. Like, that's, you know, when you find out that your shows are in, like, 149 territories and you're on a ferry going, you know, for a couple of days to Morocco and somebody points you out on a seat in the ferry and says, I just want to say thank you. You're like, wow, look at the impact of that, you know. It's incredible. It's incredible. So, you know, I feel, I do feel very blessed that I've had the opportunity. The experience that I have and given the opportunity came together at the right time to continue helping. And what more? My God, look right now. Like, we need it so, I mean, we've always needed it, but look right now. You know,
that was the theme of so many of the questions, was this particular moment in time. And we're all so burdened with stress and worry and all sorts of other problems. And yet people are thinking, you know, parenting in a pandemic is a totally different beast. And they're worried. They're fearful that they're letting their children down, that they won't be, the children will be stunted in their maturation process. How do you comfort them?
I think you have to put things into perspective. And it's hard when families around, well, not as I was about to say, around the world, but in some countries we've seen a better example than others.
Yes.
But if we're talking about this country, America, then that's very difficult when there's not direction and there's not truth and there's not leadership. And it's important to have that. And we've seen how not having it has led a country to be shaken by the circumstances and the reality of this pandemic that has been minimized. I think it's important to put into perspective, when you have collected the scientific data and information, what choices will you make as a family that, number one, will keep your family alive, period? Because like the governor of New York said, there's no coming back from passing away. There's no coming back from that. And that has to be the first priority. How do I keep my kids safe, my family safe, so that we're protecting us and others? And that takes a collective mindset. And
right.
We have been living in one that's very, you know, an individualism, right? Individualism is real. It's out there.
Me,
myself, and I. So it has taken us to sit for a minute and recognize that our actions have true cause in saving lives. But I would say to many families, as I have, in the beginning, in March and April, we were in panic mode. We totally went into fight or flight. We now realize that this is the new norm. And there is no going back to how it was, because this will never go away. They will find a vaccine, the scientists, for this. And no doubt this particular virus will have a vaccine for it, and like the flu, over years will probably dilute itself, right?
Yes.
And become less and less strong in its strain.
Right.
However, the immediate is to recognize that this pandemic truly did highlight two things: how we were going to move forward with the new challenges presented, which were homeschooling, how we were going to create boundaries and some privacy for us all to have space under one roof, when we as human beings love our family but had been used to saying goodbye to our wives or husbands, partners, kids going off to school, and now we're feeling a little bit suffocated all in the same space. So how do we create the bubble of privacy in our own homes and create more harmonious feelings and energy in our own environment, and how we move forward addressing the issues that have been highlighted because of the pandemic. So if you were already having challenging issues with your kids, if your communication was breaking down with your teenagers already, then COVID-19 just highlighted that.
Yes.
And gave you nowhere to run. You couldn't stay at the office later. You couldn't go on a vacation to make it go away for 10 days. You had to address the issue at hand and walk through it. You know, you had to walk through it. So having helped over 1,200 people since March, it really boiled down to two boxes. The issues that have always been present that now became highlighted, and the ones that I was going to help families through because of the pandemic. Losing jobs, children who have lost parents that are now living with their older brothers and sisters or their aunties. You know, the reality of, you know, older children sharing bedrooms and all getting on top of each other and arguing. You know, couples for the first time recognizing, oh my God, I love my husband, but he's driving me crazy. He's underneath my ankles. What am I going to do with this? I need my own space. And vice versa, you know? So there were many core issues and those, you know, and those families that just needed some techniques and some tools to be able to apply to not survive, but to thrive. Because I do feel that COVID-19, if you can take a moment to exhale, will help us to equalize and balance what we normalized.
Yes.
You know, you have to remember, for 16 years, I've traveled around America and I've been to 48 states of this country and helped many a family, but also heard many a tale. Susie, it couldn't go on the way it was going on.
Yes.
You know, families were, we were normalizing not eating together and never seeing each other. We were normalizing the fact that we were never truly spending quality time with our family. Not quantity, but actual quality time with our family. That disables us to be more intuitive in knowing our children and trusting our gut instincts. We were honoring and comparing on social media those mums that were juggling 50 plates, saying, oh my God, look at her. I wish I was her. She's juggling 50 plates. She's doing so well. And actually, unbeknown to everybody, was a frazzled, emotionally burnt out mother.
You with know? Pretty pictures.
Yes, with those lovely pictures, right. You know, and everybody thought, oh, that's what we need to project, and followed the herd instead of just saying, look, this is me. This is it. This is how it is. We were over scheduling as if our children were going to miss out on the world if they didn't do violin, piano, hockey and football all at once. And thinking, right? And thinking that our children are invincible and that they wouldn't be moody or tired as we're putting them through that. So now we're expecting our children to meet our ego expectations of a parent. Because if our child is doing all of this, never mind if they're exhausted by Friday.
Yeah.
We might just look like a great parent, a perfect parent, you know. So all of these examples is kind of how we've normalized our family. And a lot of those issues I was helping families with on the road, and it took the time. Like, these families have to take time off of work, mm-hmm. unless it's part of their story. So you saw me with the Osler family this season, helping this mother. They'd lost a child before. They were raising two boys, and her husband was a firefighter. So it was part of their story because he was gone away, you know. But in general, if it's not part of the reason they're asking for help, these families have to take time off. They have to put the time in. They have to be willing to at least show up, right? Even if they're having trouble throughout the process, that's fine. I welcome that. It gives me an opportunity to, you know, hear from their standpoint and to help them. But you have to be committed. And so we have the time to do that right now. We have the time to really look at what's not working for us and to prioritize what truly is important. And I've always said this, and we're in the middle of this right now because, you know, everybody's coming up to voting in 4 weeks' time. But having good standards and family values and a moral compass and a need to raise our children with respect and good social conduct, I don't understand how that's been hijacked by the Republican Party.
Listen, like, Joe, you know how I feel. I feel the same way.
That belongs to everybody. Like, I help every family, regardless of your political views and opinions. So as a Brit, I really stood back and I'm like, how is this being seen as Republican? Because actually, this has got nothing to do with politics.
Right.
This is about families, regardless of their own views and their own opinions, raising their children to be well-adjusted, empathetic human beings, you know? So it kind of puzzled me, and I needed to sort of speak out about it, you know?
No, I think it's so true, and I got chills when you were talking about the circumstances that we're in. It's a shame that we have to... it had to come to this for the, you know, perhaps some improvements to happen. But I do hope that's the silver lining, that people start to see, you know what, the way it was not the best way. And we do need to be together as families and be teaching our kids and having quality time, as you suggested.
Yeah.
I really do hope that.
And the tools. And we do, you know, we do need to learn the tools. That's what's fantastic about the show. You know, it gives me the ability to look at different relatable circumstances and to be able to provide the advice and the tools and the techniques to help parents with those parental challenges. But what we've also seen in this season, which I'm very happy that we decided to do more of, because it was important for me coming back for season 8, was to break down the fourth wall and show families it's not in and out. You know, it's not a DIY, quick, put the wallpaper up and knock the shelf in and you're good. There's hours of conversations. I have to, you know, talk to both the parents numerous times or the single parent. Sometimes there is, you know, a hurdle. Excuse me. Sometimes there's a hurdle that a particular parent is overcoming. And then you go into, you know, couple mediation and advice, as well as life coaching, for the want of a better word, through the endeavors of bringing them to a place of realization and leaving them with the work to do on themselves as they come together as a couple, recognizing how they will be more happier with less. But what they do have is more purposeful and more meaningful. I think that, you know, I think that's, that really is a lot of brain thought for many families, because we do live in a world where we want immediate gratification.
Right.
We want everything now. We want to click our fingers and it just appear, you know, like you know, like truly Mary Poppins. Let's just sprinkle.
Yeah. Can you make that happen, Joe?
Yeah. Can you just like, just click your fingers? Chick chop, dally do, let's go, all done. And you know, I think it's a little bit of a surprise when I'm like, actually, no, you're going to be doing the work for the next week. Like,
good news, bad news. Yeah.
I do remember a funny. I do remember helping a family once years ago, and it was for the saw the show. And I remember I walked in and the lady said, "Okay, well, we're just ready." I let them know, you know, I said to them, look, here are the things I believe are truly challenging you and the root cause. She was like, right, okay. Well, when you're ready, just begin. You're fine.
No.
We'll be good. We'll be in the kitchen.
Stop.
I said, no, actually, it's going to involve yourself.
My God. Well, that would be nice. I mean, we all want to snap our fingers and have everything change. But bad news. You got to work on it.
Yeah, it's kind of good news though, right? I mean, look, you recognize, you grow from it, you know, you evolve, you grow from it. And I think that's what's really, you know, really important.
You've been doing this for a long time, but don't age somehow, which I'm mad about. But I don't know your secret there. But do you notice a shift or a change in what people do worry about, parental changes and trends, or do you think the fundamentals are constant and remain pretty much the same?
I think it's both, actually. I think that we have concerns that our parents probably had when we were younger, you know. But I also think there are new ones, and that's dictated by the technology era.
Yeah.
And how fast that is moving, that I think is very hard for our brains to even catch up with, you know. You know, it's just moving radically so fast.
And we really don't know all the implications of it either.
We don't. And, you know, I help families as young as six and as old as young adults living at home with addiction behavior to video gaming and spending too much time on their cell phones, and the real causes of that, you know, and the underlying reasons. And I feel like, you know, as I said, there were the situations of, you know, families just, you know, trying to get through and to put bread and butter on the table and to, you know, look at jobs. And we've seen, you know, over 10 years ago that we had gone through that recession, and now we're looking at the economy now and recognizing that it's a little bit bleak, to say the least, you know, with respects to opportunities and those that have gone to uni or college and looking, you know, for their job prospects. But I also think that we've come through a lot, you know, and we can be very resilient if we're able to recognize that this is a phase and that we will push through it. You know, I think there's much to be said for resilience and for not pandering too much, but to recognize and to validate and to work through. But I don't subscribe to the let's just sit down and do nothing then, you know. I really do sit in the middle. I really don't sit in one box or the other. I really do like a balance, a compromise. You know, like the parenting trends, you know, parenting trends to me are just trends. They'll go in and they'll go out. Families expect, and they should expect no less than techniques and advice that will work from myself. So, you know, again, I don't subscribe to the trending of things. You know, I'm not going to move with that. I'm going to go with what works, because why fix something that's not broken? And there are new advice and techniques that come along the way as I'm working. Of course, I have to move and evolve and change too, with the challenges that are ahead of me. But, you know, I don't subscribe to that. I think we have to do what works. And it's been quite amazing with even some of the young generation. You know, you'll talk to them and they'll be very kind in saying, oh, yes, so more of the old-fashioned approach then. And I'll say, well, no, just an approach that works, that's all. But, you know, do come back to me if you find that what you want to experiment with don't work. And they all come back. You know, yes. They all end up coming back saying, well, it didn't just quite work. Because there's a reason, you know. And I feel that if you can explain to families why a child may be refusing to behave a certain way, or why they're showing up a certain way, or why, you know, why is your partner being defensive every time you talk? If a family understand, then they're more willing to continue moving forward in a space that gets them the results, you know. And parenting has become a billion-dollar empire. You know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants to say what they think. But truthfully, they can only talk about their own family or their own child, you know. So with a lot of respect, I'm coming from a place of been, you know, helping families of all different walks of life with all different types of families and dynamics. And so, you know, the life experience I'm given is not coming from a space of, you know, well, I only know what I know from my child. You know, I'm coming from a place of, well, I've helped thousands of families, you know.
Right, because everyone thinks they're an expert if they have a kid, but it's their own personal experience, whereas you have experience across so many demographics.
Exactly. Well,
and I love that you empower people with tools that even when you leave, they can continue to foster those new techniques, and that's such a blessing for people. We all need help.
Yes, it's so important. You know, I remember helping a family. I was my show, Joe Frost Nanny on Tour, a format that I did here in America, and I was helping a family with sleep issues, because I would say it's probably number one right now, families struggling with sleep. And sort of nailing down the age group that they had, why there were certain things they needed to do during the day to support healthier sleep of a nighttime. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And they said, are you not going? Like, I see the crew. The crew are leaving. I'm like, oh, no, I'm here. I'll just be here on the sofa. And they were like, oh, you really do stay then? You really do help? I said, oh, yes. Like, this is to get you in the space of all being able to sleep as a family.
That's so nice.
You know, so they understood, you know, they understood that. And, yeah, the Atkins family love them. They're, you know, they're doing very well.
Well, it does make me really happy when reality television can bring good storytelling, like I said, but still be helpful to people. And that's why I love you. And I've taken up too much of your time already, so I'll ask the same thing we ask every guest of Brain Candy Podcast, which is, if you have a car, what do you keep in the trunk of your car?
If I have a car?
Some people don't have cars, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do. What do I keep in my car? I've got a blanket in there. Oh, I'm kind of like, because I have a grandson. So I have a grandson, so I keep a blankie in there. I've got snacks in there. I've got, like, bottles of water, an emergency first kit, like the mini ones. So the nanny in me never went away. It's Susie. It's like when you've been driving around children all your life. I think only maybe 6 years ago, I took a muslin out of my big purse. Like you would carry like little things around with you. Like Eli's 6 years now. But I remember I would still have like a giant linen muzzy just shoved in my purse, because if I needed just to dab down a little bit of water and just do something, it would be there.
It is handy.
I know. My bag's like, it is like Mary Poppins bag. I've got the Band-Aids and the cream and, you know, the gloss in there. And, you know, so the back of the trunk is, you know, bottles of water, a blankie, a mini emergency kit, some...
Oops, can you hear me?
Marvel would do, right?
There you go. Yes, this is what I love about this question, is it really does tell you a lot about the person. Yeah. And I expected nothing less from the super nanny.
Oh, and recycle shopping bags for when I have to go to the supermarket. So my bags are in there already.
I love it. You're prepared for anything. Thank you so much for coming on this show. You're amazing.
Thank you, Susie.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, try giving my podcast, Miraculous Mamas, a listen. Miraculous Mamas is a safe and inclusive place for you to find a huge amount of educational and relatable information about childbirth and parenting with absolutely everything in between. Each week, we discuss important topics, share great resources, hear from experts, and listen to birth stories, all in an effort to bring you reassuring and informative experiences so that you know that you are not alone. That's all on Miraculous Mamas Podcast. Look for the podcast link in the show notes, or simply search for Miraculous Mamas on your podcast app.